Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana, what I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report. IU victorious last night. First half was really good. Second half, not so much. But Indiana does get a win over a pretty solid, I thought, Louisiana Tech team. They didn't come out and play great at the start of the game, which allowed Indiana to build a lead and get off to a pretty good start. Indiana could not put the game away, though. I think they led by 16 points at halftime. And had Indiana been able to keep or even extend that 16-point margin against Louisiana Tech, I think you would have been today feeling really good about this team and their prospects moving forward. But it was a different Indiana team, a good Devontae Green in the first half, a really bad Devontae Green in the second half, and Indiana still trying to find consistency, still trying to get its lineup together. Rob Phinisee obviously on the bench last night for the game, and you got to wonder after all the easy games that they've had in November, as things start to get tougher like they did at times last night, without a lot of reps and without a lot of consistency and a lot of opportunity for this team to have played together on the floor at this point heading into the month of December when things are going to really get difficult for this team. It is a bit concerning. But Indiana, first half I thought was great. Overall, not bad. Second half at times, especially for some individual players, not so good. But one thing continues to be true for this Indiana team, and that is Trace Jackson Davis is a player. He knows how to play. He gets fouled. He converts on free throws. Great moves in the post. He had a dunk that he missed last night that, even though it missed, was still just an unbelievable spectacle. And if he had landed that dunk, you would be all over SportsCenter today and all over national sports TV. But Trace Jackson Davis, I tell you what, I think we all thought he could be pretty good. We all thought he'd come in as a freshman and compete for time and compete for a potential starting spot and probably have some big games. But he's been very, very consistent for this team. I just mentioned inconsistency with other players. Interesting to see a freshman come in and do what he's done on a consistent basis through the month of November. Very excited. I think Indiana fans, all of us, should be about Trace Jackson Davis and his future with the Indiana program. Hoosiers get a win. One more, I don't want to say cupcake game, but one more game against a lesser opponent coming up later this month before things get really, really serious for this Indiana team. And I still think they've got a lot of things to figure out. And you know what? Some of it may be things that they just can't figure out until the whole lineup is together for a while and until they've played some really good and tough competition at the high major level to see exactly where they're at. But definitely some things to like, I think, about Indiana. I thought a lot of praise by the studio host and by the color commentators last night about this Indiana team. But I think we all know that have watched all their games thoroughly, there are some concerning parts of this Indiana team if they are going to compete in the Big Ten Conference for real and if they are going to have an opportunity, a serious chance down the stretch to become an NCAA tournament team. So we'll talk more about IU basketball. Obviously, today we do each day here on the Hoosier Report presented by CC Power Sports. And I want to remind you that really today, tonight across Southern Indiana is kind of the opening day. I guess officially yesterday you could have played a high school basketball game. You don't see a lot of action even across the state on that Monday. But tonight, some good games in the area, and Lee Kelly and myself are going to be out at Christian Academy in New Albany. I always look forward to this game. Two local teams, Christian Academy hosting Floyd Central. Both are always solid, always competitive. Floyd Central's had some great years recently. Christian Academy has as well. And this has been at times a pretty good opener, I think, for both teams, because you expect Floyd Central to win most every year, and the Highlanders have. But also Christian Academy, it's a great test for them, a 1A school, to play a big dog like the Highlanders to get the season rolling. So looking forward to being out there. The game tips at 7:30. Lee and I will be on the air about 7:05. We'll have interviews with the coaches and the starting lineups and other pregame notes for you as well. But it'll just be nice to be back out in a gym for high school basketball here in Southern Indiana. And I've said this really all offseason since the year ended last spring, but this is going to be a tremendous year for high school basketball in our immediate area. Not only do we have obviously great coaches and some teams that we think can do big things this year, but we have individual players, and I talk about this so much, that are so very talented and that are attracting the interest of Division I college coaches, and that doesn't even include the lower-level college players that go on to have tremendous high school careers and go to play the game at the college level of some sort. But right now, it's just the last few years and the next few years are just tremendous for our area as far as individual talent. And tonight, again, in that Floyd Central game, we'll get a chance to see two players that I'm really high on here in the area for Christian Academy, Bailey Conrad. He can do a little bit of everything, and I think is expected to this year for Christian Academy. And, of course, for Floyd Central, Jake Heidbreeder. He's getting Division I interest. He had a great summer. I'm not sure that of all the games I saw in our summer league in June that anyone played better consistently and led his team more than Jake Heidbreeder did. So big start tonight. Hope you can get out to the Christian Academy Floyd Central game. There's some other games in the area as well that we'll tell you about here in just a few minutes. But to me, yes, the start of college basketball is great. I love the first couple weeks. I love Thanksgiving week, Feast week. They've got all sorts of games on even throughout the day. I love watching Indiana games, love the Big Ten Conference. All of it gets me excited, but probably nothing gets me as excited about the actual start of the high school season. Not only some good games tonight, but some great games later this week as well in high school basketball. And I think in this first week we're going to find out a lot about some of our area teams that have big expectations and hopes for, you know, state tournament success. And maybe could we see a couple state champions in the area. Right now we have that perfect mixture, the good talent, the good teams, and, of course, great coaches to go with all that that make you think that possibly we could. Let's get into today's show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we have our Zaxby's headlines. We'll catch some of the big happenings last night, standout performers for Indiana in their win over Louisiana Tech. We'll talk a little bit more about high school basketball, set the schedule for tonight, talk about the Coaches Association poll that came out just a few days ago, and a number of area teams ranked in the area. No surprise on that. Then segment two, Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star joins us. Our chat with Greg each week is presented by Coffee Crossing. IU football, of course, a disappointing performance in the big loss to Michigan over the weekend. We'll talk about IU basketball, their win last night. And Thanksgiving with Greg when he joins us a little bit later in the program, presented by Coffee Crossing. And then Mike Pegram of Pigs.com, he'll check in segment three today. We'll recap some of the details from last night. We'll talk about what's ahead in the month of December. Yes, there's one more game. Is it South Dakota State, I think, in between some of these big games for Indiana, and a little Big Ten discussion as well with Mike when he joins us later in the hour today. Don't forget, stop by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany and mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison to receive $1 off a delicious box lunch that'll be made to order for you at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget, you can interact with the show. Love to hear from you. Submit a comment, a question. You can hit me on Twitter, at Hoosier Hills. Again, at Hoosier Hills, you can send us a question there. Or on Facebook, the show has a page you can like and follow for updates and podcasts. It's the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You just search that, and you can leave us a message there as well. Your question, your comment, it might get used for one of our guests or read on the air today in this show. Let's take a look at our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana news presented by Zaxby's with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. Indiana last night victorious by a final score of 88-75 over Louisiana Tech, who's been billed as probably the toughest game of the month for this Indiana team. And I tell you what, all the bragging that we've done on Louisiana Tech, and it's not just been me, it didn't really hold form in the first half last night. Indiana blew past Louisiana Tech to open up the first half of play, had a dominant 16-point lead at halftime. Indiana seemed to score a lot of points right at the basket, started hitting some three-pointers later in the first half as well. At one point in the half, I think they led by 22 or 23 points over Louisiana Tech, but the second half was a different story. We saw Indiana flub up some on defense. We saw Devontae Green somewhat have a meltdown, and we saw Louisiana Tech play a lot better than what they did in the first half of play. I mentioned this at the top of the show, Trace Jackson Davis. I know that this Louisiana Tech team, a little undersized maybe, they won't have the front line or the ability to guard or stop Trace like what Big Ten teams and some of the December opponents will have. But his third double-double of his career, his freshman season, he had 21 points, 11 rebounds. As Devontae Green and others kind of faltered in the second half, Trace Jackson did nothing but get stronger in the second half. He hit 11 of 13 free throws in the game last night. He's one of the leading free throw shooters on this team as well. I said this earlier. I've said it before in previous shows. I hope that we say it a lot this season. He has got all sorts of potential for this team, and I think that he is going to be right in the running for Big Ten freshman, newcomer, whatever they call it, of the year. He has been consistent. I know the argument could be made that he's doing it against some undersized competition, or maybe it's not coming against high major opponents, but I think that he will. I don't know if it'll happen right out of the gate next month and to start December, but I think Trace Jackson Davis has built the foundation for himself to do really well this season and built the confidence and the comfortability in his position, in his role with the team. And I think what we've seen with Trace, not that everybody's going to have double-doubles or have three double-doubles at this point of the season, but I think what we've seen with Trace is probably what we hope to see in the month of November with basically the entire roster in whatever that specific player's role is. They get more comfortable and they build some consistency in that role game in and game out, no matter who the opponent is, if it's home, away, whatever the situation is. And we've seen that with Trace Jackson Davis. Others, I think at this point, you've got to still have a question mark surrounding their name about what they'll do next month or what they'll do in Big Ten games. And again, I'm by no means saying Trace is going to dominate Big Ten level opponents either, but there's been some consistency with what he's done. Other players have played well for a game or two and they faded off. Other players have played well for a half and then faded away. But Trace Jackson Davis has been there for the long haul for this Indiana team. One other thing last night, too. Indiana had six turnovers in the first half and took a 16-point lead to the locker room. Second half, they finished the game 18 turnovers, so a lot different than 6.5. You think, okay, they're on pace to have 12. That's not bad for this Indiana team. Turnovers, a category that you have to watch with this team and had to watch with this program, even going back under Tom Crean. But 18 last night, including the number that they had in the second half, really tough for this Indiana team last night. Also, I thought Al Durham with a good night, 18 points, 6 of 10 shooting, 5 of 7 from the free throw line for him as well. Trace Jackson Davis, obviously the front runner. You also had Devontae Green, who if he stopped at halftime, he would have probably been the standout performer. But as good as the second half was for – the first half was, excuse me, for Devontae, the second half was worse, was not good. And it's not what you want to see from this key player on this Indiana team. I don't care if he goes a half and doesn't score. It's not good for the Indiana team, obviously, but you hate to see him commit some of the turnovers and see some, the offense break down in the way that it did last night. Of course, with Rob Phinisee out, Devontae had the ball in his hand some, maybe more than what he will the rest of the year. And I guess that is my final point. Indiana, they need Rob Phinisee back. They need him healthy. He has missed out on so much of this November opportunity against lower-level and mid-level teams to build that consistency and to find his role and to get comfortable in his more leadership position as a second-year player. And that just hasn't happened, whether it's been an injury or a sickness or an illness. Lots of things have kept him in and out, and a lot did last year. Had concussion and a few other little nicks here and there that caused him to miss a lot of minutes. But Indiana last night, overall, there were some positives. Overall, I do think it's a good victory for the team, but they did let things slide a little bit in the second half, no question about that. Next headline, I mentioned high school basketball tonight. We're out at Christian Academy, Floyd Central, at Christian Academy, 7:30 tip-off. We'll be on the air about 7:05 with our pregame coverage. Also tonight, you've got Charlestown at New Washington. That is a big rivalry game in northern Clark County. Eastern Pekin is at Borden. That's a rivalry game as well between the Washington County School Eastern Pekin and the Clark County School Borden. And then Rock Creek at Henryville. That's kind of a new game on the schedule, at least at this early point of the season. In the past, we've seen Silver Creek and Henryville battle to open the year. Now it's Rock Creek at Henryville tonight. So a battle of two local teams there taking place. And also I should mention that the Coaches Association put their poll out earlier this week, and no surprise that a number of teams ranked and a handful of additional teams received votes in that poll. That's obviously a poll put together, voted on by coaches from across the state. I knew Silver Creek and Jeff would be ranked fairly high. Silver Creek, number four. This is not split up by class either. The coaches have, in the preseason poll, Silver Creek as the number four team in high school basketball in the state. Jeff is right behind him at number six in the state. Floyd Central, number 18 in the state. And I think New Albany also received some votes, may have been another team or two as well, getting a few votes from the coaches. But Southern Indiana's got some definite promotion and positivity here, even from a statewide audience of coaches heading into this 2019-2020 season. Those are the Zaxby's headlines. Don't forget to try the Southern TLC Filet Sandwich. It's a buttermilk marinated breast filet served with lettuce, tomato, and mayo, and you can find it at your local Zaxby's with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing, IU football, IU basketball, Thanksgiving, and more coming up with Greg after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, presented by CC Power Sports.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Tuesday program. Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star with us, presented by Coffee Crossing. Coffee Crossing would like to invite everyone to their newest location located in downtown New Albany. They turned their own bakery at 140 East Main Street into the fifth Coffee Crossing location for you to enjoy. Greg, first off, happy Thanksgiving, and we are thankful on the Hoosier Report to have a guy as entertaining as you join us each Tuesday here on the show.
Yeah, we'll see how entertaining I am today. I'm a little bit fired up about some stuff here.
All right, we'll get to it. Let's. What do you want to go with first? I know you were just at Southport High School for a press conference. Southport, obviously not a local high school to us, but it is interesting, and we talked a lot about it last week whenever it was first announced that they were going to be facing some sanctions and, in fact, removed from the IHSA boys basketball tournament. I think you were at a press conference at the school. They are going to file an appeal. I'm curious your thoughts on what you just heard and what they had to say.
Well, there's a kid from Africa. He's in America. He was brought here by a guy, by a handler, by a leech. And the leech and the kid parted ways because the leech is a leech. And now the kid is at a school and he's not eligible to play. And because he's at that school, the entire school can't play in the state tournament. And the kid was never going to be eligible anyway. He's here on an F-1 visa. You can't play on an F-1 visa, not if you're at Southport High School anyway. So the whole thing is unbelievable. This school has been kept out of the state tournament for a kid that was never going to play anyway.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. I know that obviously people, I think, in Southern Indiana look at Indianapolis and maybe even look across the river at Louisville. And when you think about high school sports, specifically basketball and football, you think, gosh, those places are infiltrated with AAU handlers and transfers, and kids always seem to bounce around from school to school. So when you first hear that a school is going to be bumped from the state tournament for a year and a coach is going to face a suspension and the school has been placed on probation, the entire athletic department is the case at Southport, I think that the first reaction and the first thought we all probably have is that it's something underhanded where a coach has recruited someone from another school or an AAU coach has gotten involved to swing a player or players from one school to another. But you say this is obviously a lot different from your normal recruiting case or transfer case in high school sports.
Yeah, this doesn't sound normal at all. This does, and I'm not saying Southport's entirely blameless, the school, but this kid was brought to America by a third party who then was kind of shopping him around trying to find a school he could play at and settled on Southport for a lot of reasons. But one is Southport has a good history of dealing with kids on F1 visas. But the kid was never going to be eligible. And the IHSA, I think, ought to know that. So I'm just really not clear on why the whole school got punished for a kid that was never going to play.
Gotcha. And I assume that this will be a
– listen.
Column coming very soon from you. Greg, are you still with us? I think we may have lost Greg. Doug, if you'll see if you can reconnect with him. But definitely an interesting situation, and I knew that Southport was scheduled to have a press conference today to address this, and it looks like they will file an appeal with the IHSA to discuss or to see what they can try to do with that suspension. I think we have Greg back with us. Greg, I assume that you'll formulate this into a column coming very soon for us to read.
I'm trying, and the reason you lost me there for a second is I lost you. I've got my phone's going nuts because everybody knows that I'm mad at them. The school knows I'm mad at them. In fact, at the press conference just now, I spent 30 minutes browbeating their immigration guy and their coach about this kid. And as I told both of them afterwards, is hey, the reason I'm browbeating you is that I'm a dad first. And I don't like what's happening with this kid at all. I don't like anybody in this story. So everybody's now calling me, trying to make sure it's okay, make sure that I'm not crushing them. So
all right.
Anyway, I wanted to tell someone it's okay. Leave me alone. I'm on the radio.
We'll follow you very soon for a column. This is going to be an interesting, or it is an interesting situation, I should say. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. IU football, my next subject to bring up with you. Indiana did not have the performance that I think we hoped, that fans hoped against Michigan, to stand up and say this team is for real, even in a loss to make it close and competitive, much like they did at Penn State. That was not the case on Saturday for this Indiana football team. Can they get it back together for Purdue for the bowl game? Any concerns with that after getting handled pretty easily by Michigan?
Oh, yeah, they should. Now, they've got some injury issues, too, just like Purdue does, so the field is really leveling out between the two schools because both schools have pretty good high-level talent, but not very many of them. And in both schools' cases, they're injured. You know, Watt Fillier is IU's far and away most explosive playmaker. He's injured. We don't know if he's going to play yet. Obviously, Michael Penix is not playing. Purdue's down Rondell Moore, as we all know, and also two of their top quarterbacks, or their top two quarterbacks. So it becomes a matter of depth and whatnot. IU can certainly win this game. They kind of are. They're at the point now where they need to. They can almost kind of have to. To make the season really seem legitimate at all. I didn't realize until I went to the game this weekend that IU, the seven teams they've beaten, and their record's really good, but they've beaten seven teams with a combined record of 19-59. I mean, they've literally been handed. Nebraska at Nebraska is not quite pathetic, okay? Not. But short of that, they've been handed, they've had a bunch of babies walk up to them with candy, and they've taken the candy from a baby. That's what they've done. And the record looks like it looks, and 7-4 looks good, or 7-5, whatever the record is, looks good, but they haven't beat anybody yet. And beating Purdue, really, they haven't beat anybody either. Not this year, not with those injuries. So, but they got to beat Purdue and or win a bowl game. I think if you start off with seven wins, then lose your last four, that's problematic. So they need to win at least one of these next two games, I think, for the season to be considered a success. Otherwise, it'll be, you know, a what could have been season.
Yeah, no question about it. Indiana 7-4 heading into the Purdue game. I know you and I have talked a lot about Rondale Moore because of his connection to us here locally, but Purdue generally this season – It's almost some of the conversations that we've had this year about Tom Allen, about Indiana football in their hot moments and their successful moments, were very similar to the conversations that you and I had a year ago talking about Coach Brohm and Purdue and Rondale and how hot they were. Obviously, injuries with Rondale and others and just at times not playing well have really hurt this Purdue team. It's not the program this year that I think we envisioned a year ago at this time it could be at this juncture.
Yeah, this has been a step back for sure. When you lose your two best players, your two best offensive players, Sindelar and Moore on the same play in the same game early in the season, that really hurts things. So they had, you know, they weren't off to a great start even with those guys. The Nevada loss was really bad. So it's not just a function of, well, things were going great, but no, things weren't going great. And then, but the injuries happened. I wouldn't be surprised, and I don't know, but Rondale's, I mean, he's not going to be a fifth-year senior. I mean, there's no way he's going to be in college for 5 years. So I don't know why they'd redshirt him this year. And he's played four games. He was injured in the fourth game. You can redshirt him if he doesn't play again. But I'm not sure why you bother because, again, he's not going to be here in 4 years. So my thought is I wouldn't be surprised if we see him on the field Saturday against IU.
Interesting. Greg Doyle presented by Coffee Crossing. Greg, before we let you go, I know that we've had some fun conversations over the years on this show in addition to sports. And we talked a few weeks ago, I think it was, about your food eating or garbage food eating habits when I saw a picture that you had tweeted about a piece of cake, I think it was, in a football press conference at a Colts game maybe. And you mentioned on the show the podcast you were on. I think it's an Indianapolis-based podcast about food and other things. And I just want to say that I listened to it. I shared it on social media. I know a number of people that listen to this show and that enjoy your segment specifically listen to it. And very interesting, not just garbage eating habits, but food habits in general, which leads me to my final question of the day. What is Thanksgiving like and a Thanksgiving meal like for Greg Doyle?
Well, this year it's going to be very tame. This year, very tame. There's a guy that coached at Roncalli football. He was a head coach for about 3 years, 50 years ago. And since then, he's been an assistant coach and been on staff, and he's kind of an associate principal in charge of loving the kids. And he's really there. He's retired. He works in the school just, you know, keeping everybody's morale up. He's just a great guy named Bob Tully. And I wrote about him a couple years ago. He's in the Indiana Football Hall of Fame. And he had a heart issue about a year ago and got sick and was in the hospital. It was, you know, scary. And I started visiting him, just visiting him, I don't know. And from that, I decided, you and I, we're kind of friends, aren't we? So anyway, he and I visit him and his wife every weekend for an hour or two. And I'm going to go have Thanksgiving dinner with their family on Thursday.
That's great. That's great. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Greg, happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for joining us on the show. Look forward to your column, whatever it may be, about the Southport situation. Definitely interesting.
Man, I'm angry. Yeah, we'll see what happens. Thanks, Matt.
All right, Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. This segment presented by Coffee Crossing, who just recently opened their fifth location. It's located in downtown New Albany. They invite you to stop by maybe over this Thanksgiving weekend. If you're out and about doing some holiday shopping in downtown New Albany, you can stop by at 140 East Main Street, again in downtown New Albany. That's Greg Doyle with us Tuesdays on the program. And a reminder tonight, high school basketball on the Big X, our season opening game. Myself and Lee Kelly will be on the call. We'll be out at Christian Academy. Floyd Central at Christian Academy will be the game that will start our season. And again, a number of games across the area tonight. Floyd Central at Christian Academy, Charlestown at New Washington, Eastern Pekin at Borden, Rock Creek and Henryville. Those are four involving local teams. So check out a game tonight if you've got the itch for some basketball and are ready for the high school season to be here, because it is all going to get underway tonight. And it continues later this week. I think Silver Creek plays Columbus East on Wednesday night. And then after the Thanksgiving holiday on Thursday, you've got some interesting games over the weekend, especially on Saturday. Jeffersonville plays in a two-day shootout. They've got one game on Saturday evening against Woodward High School from the Cincinnati area, who it sounds like is a very good team this season with some good prospects of their own, and that should be a good opening season test for Jeffersonville. New Albany on the road. We know they're going to be without Julian Hunter at Bloomington South this week. And, of course, Bloomington South with Anthony Leal, a player that we've talked an awful lot about on this program. We'll get to see him debut against the Bulldogs to start what could be a Mr. Basketball-like campaign for Anthony Leal and Bloomington South, who is expected to be once again very competitive as a team. Obviously, Leal, one of the front runners in the state this year as far as players go. Speaking of opening up high school basketball last night, really one game of interest across the state. Nobody locally in action, but Culver Academies played last night. That is the team that Trey Galloway plays for, that his dad coaches, and Trey opened up the year in a big way. They played Indy Homeschool, Indianapolis Homeschool. I have no idea. Sometimes you say homeschool and you think, probably not very competitive. Other times there's some homeschool teams and players that, when especially they combine together, that are pretty good. But nonetheless, Galloway, 27 points in his opener last night. It was a 69-54 win for Culver Academies in that game. So no matter how good or not the competition was, and they were reasonably close to Culver, so there's reason to believe it was decent. Trey Galloway with a big scoring outburst to start his senior campaign. Going to be interesting as we follow Anthony Leal and Bloomington South and Trey Galloway and his Culver Academies team to kind of, even though they're future teammates, even though they're both committed, signed on the dotted line with Indiana, they're kind of competing against each other in their senior year in the Mr. Basketball race. Yes, there's a number of candidates. I saw a great story from Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star where he wrote about his opinion of the top five or so candidates for the Mr. Basketball Award in the state of Indiana this year. But I think everybody knows, at least at this point, unless something really changes, that Anthony Leal and Trey Galloway are kind of the front runners there also. So kind of competing against each other, taking a look at stats a lot of the games this year, and those guys both, I'm sure, on a mission to try to bring home that Mr. Basketball Award. I also want to mention that I saw Kyle Neddenrip, who normally is with us Friday. We don't have a local show Friday because of Thanksgiving, but in his writing about Mr. Basketball candidates for this year, once he obviously Leal and Galloway on that list, Trey Coleman of Jeffersonville was someone that Kyle wrote very highly about and considered him a candidate, at least on the radar for that award this season. I think that Trey obviously is an Indiana All-Star, but good to see him get some recognition also as a Mr. Basketball candidate as he gets ready to tip off his senior campaign on Saturday when Jeffersonville plays in Cincinnati. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, more on IU and Louisiana Tech from last night, more on Trace Jackson Davis, more on Devontae Green. Good Devontae and bad Devontae. That phrase has been used before, and definitely last night it was a tale of two different halves for Devontae Green. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about what's ahead for this Indiana team as well. Some big challenges coming up just around the corner once the month of December gets here. Mike Pegram of Pegs.com joins us. We'll talk all of that and more, I'm sure, coming up next. This is a Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report presented by CC Power Sports.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
The Hoosier Report each day, presented by CC Power Sports, and every child's dream is a new dirt bike for Christmas, and at CC Power Sports, they're helping make that dream easier with free Christmas layaway and storage now through Christmas. Simply put down a deposit and pay as you wish until December 21st. CC Power Sports will even store your purchase to keep the dreams of Christmas alive and the bike out of sight. You can find out more about this Christmas special at ccpowersports.com. Mike Pegram is always with us on Tuesdays with lots of IU insight, basketball, and football. And Mike, I got to talk and start on the game last night for the Hoosiers. It was a win, maybe against their toughest opponent so far of the season, but it really was a tale of two halves. Indiana looked great in the first half, Louisiana Tech did not look like the team we thought they might be in the challenge we thought they might be in the first half. But in the second half, a little better Louisiana Tech team. Indiana with plenty of turnovers, plenty of mistakes. Devontae Green had simply almost a meltdown in many ways. And Indiana not as fresh, not as good, not near as fun to watch in the second half as they were the first half last night.
Yeah, it was like a contagious situation with the turnovers. There was a five in the first 3 minutes or so of the second half, and then 12 for the whole half for a team that really hasn't had turnover issues coming in. And that might be the fact that they finally played a team with some decent athletes that could put some pressure on them. And I think Louisiana Tech also messed around with different kind of defenses and made – you know, make decisions, and they didn't have their starting point guard, Rob Fennessy. So it was a formula maybe that led to that being a kind of a one-time deal with the turnovers.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com. I want to start with a couple good points from last night and then maybe get into some more of the concerning points about this team as they move into December play against a whole nother level of competition. Obviously, Trace Jackson Davis. When you talk about good that's been learned about this Indiana team in the month of November and some of these exploratory-type games they've played against mid- and lower-level competition, he's been consistent. He's been a good free-throw shooter. He's been a good rebounder. He showed some great athleticism, some great plays. The missed dunk last night was even just unbelievable how he went up with that. But I think he is someone that we always expected would contribute and would be at some point a big part of this team. But my feelings are, even against lower-level competition, with what he's shown and the consistency in which he's done it, he might end up being, in my opinion, a major, major part of this team all season long.
Yeah, I actually expect him to end up this team's leading scorer. He's almost there now. Just behind Al Durham and Justin Smith actually led the team before last night. He didn't have a very good night. But Trace, you know, his field goal percentage is off the charts, 71.8%. So shooting about 72% from the floor, and he's, you know, averaging almost 9 rebounds a game and getting better. Each game that goes by, he's getting another double-digit board game, you know, he's shooting decent from the free throw line, 76%, and you know, that's why you go to him in the post. Not only will he get fouled, he'll make the free throws, and he's just so explosive. You know, he's got good strength for his age, and he's just so explosive off the floor, and that's really difficult for teams to deal with, especially since he's a left-hander. They don't have to face many of those.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, our guest. I almost am hesitant to ask this question, but it's one that's been asked of me. In fact, I had someone tweet it in earlier today when we were asking for questions for the show today. With these big performances from Trace Jackson Davis, and I realize that they've come against, again, lower D1, mid-D1 opponents, but do you have any thought, and what are the rumblings in Bloomington maybe about him as an NBA prospect? Is he going to get some looks from NBA teams this year? Is he somebody that is in any which way will be considered a one-and-done type player? Or do you feel that he's a multiple-year guy, not sure how many years at this point, but a multiple-year guy at IU?
A lot of us have kind of thrown out 2 years as the plus or the kind of the expectation. Because Trace is not quite as tall as ideal for, you know, for a guy who's going to have to play a lot inside at the next level once he really improves his outside shot. You know, I'm talking about a guy who's probably no taller than 6'8", but the way he's playing, you know, makes you wonder. I mean, there's been more guys of kind of 6'8", 6'7"-ish that have turned into pretty good NBA players, even though they're not really considered true small forwards. Because the game's changed, the sport spots changed, and Trace could really thrive, I think, for the right kind of team in the NBA. So, you know, who knows, but, you know, shooting 72% and doing the kind of things he's doing does make you wonder a little bit at this point whether that 2 years might be 1 year too many.
Absolutely. Talking with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com. One other good point, I thought Al Durham has had some good moments this season. scored a lot of points last night, such an athletic player. How will that translate over in the month of December in some of these bigger games, do you think?
Well, I think that he's had to shoulder a lot of the point guard responsibility. You know, he had a good first half in that regard, but then didn't have a good second half. But I think that it'll pay off in the future with when Robert Fennessey maybe has some foul trouble or is hurt again or something along those lines that he can't be out there, that Al can play some point and maybe just be a little bit better at it because of that November experience that we're seeing here. You know, I don't think Indiana can be a good team without Robert Fennessey at the point for the majority of the time, but they could be a better team if the guys backing them up have really learned what they can and can't do with the ball. And Al's made a lot of progress in that regard. And just made Indiana a deeper team and more prepared for what's ahead in terms of, you know, guys, you know, if Rob is out.
Talking to Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, IU's win last night over Louisiana Tech. Maybe some of the more uncomfortable moments from the game last night. We talked about the differences in the first and second halves last night. And, of course, a big key in that was how good Devontae Green played and looked and scored the ball in the first half as opposed to the second half of play. It really looked like two completely different players, to be honest with you. Should Indiana fans be concerned? I mean, Devontae's been branded in the past as good Devontae and bad Devontae. He's really good when he's good and on. He's really bad when he's bad. And now that he's stepping into a much more key role, he had some injuries earlier that kept him out and starting to get, you would think, back in the swing of things. To see that type of game where there's such a difference from half to half, and I think Archie Miller talked about even in the bad moments he needs to quote, grab the reins of this team. But with that, with what he's going to have on his shoulders this year, does a performance like last night in the first and second half and the differences from half to half, should that be very concerning to Indiana fans who are looking and thinking that Devontae is going to have to be a big answer for this team this year?
Well, you got to remember he missed a lot of time early in the season. And every once in a while, everybody who's had a bad habit needs a reminder that, you know, they have to be guarded against returning to that bad habits. And I think he, you know, had just he had like a perfect first half, Matt. He did everything right. I wish everything was going down. Games seemed so easy to him. And so they kind of maybe got him a little bit unguarded in terms of what, you know, like, jumping back to being invincible. Maybe he's not the same guy that could make dumb plays, but he got back to the old Devontae in that regard the second half. And I think it's just a reminder for him. Until we see it happening pretty regularly, I wouldn't get too concerned about it. You know, he's going to, you know, be a little bit more conservative, I think, with his decision making for a little while, at least given those second half issues.
Mike, a lot of talk about ball handling issues and problems last night. Do you attribute a lot of that to the fact that Rob Fennessey was out and that this Indiana team is having to use other players at times to handle the ball when maybe during the regular season, the Big Ten season, when Rob is back, that he will handle the bulk of that effort?
Yeah, I think it's a big part of it. That was my whole column after the game was, you know, this team really needs their point guard back. You know, they Al Durham, when we talked about him helping a little bit, Armand Franklin has done a decent job. But just when you face good athletes and pressure, I think Rob is the only one that is, you know, experienced enough with the dribble or is talented enough with the dribble to you know, deal with that. Now, good passing from the rest of the team can kind of help, obviously, against pressure, and Indiana needs to get better with that. Yeah, I think a little bit of it last night was they stepped up quite a bit in the level of player that they faced because, you know, Louisiana Tech's around an 80th of the country in the computer ratings. Nobody that they played in the first five games was even top 200. So it was a different level of athlete, and they've got to make a little bit of an adjustment here as, you know, they move up to the Florida State game next week. But I think some of that was that. But, you know, having a guy who can dribble the ball really well and keep his head up and see what's out there, it's a big deal for any team, and it is for Indiana. So Tennessee getting back is huge.
Talking with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com, and, of course, if you're not a subscriber to Pegs.com and you're an IU faithful, check the site out. Lots of great information, and of course, very active message forum, discussion board, community there, talking IU basketball and IU football. Also, Mike, last basketball question, then I want to get to football for just a moment. But Joey Brunk, his impact this season, I'm curious from your perspective what you've seen him bring to this team and how you think he will fit in next month and into the Big Ten season with this roster.
Yeah, he's been a real benefit in terms of the approach to the in the games and before the games and in practice. He's always the first guy, almost it seems like regularly, for warm-ups to be out there, at least the first scholarship player out there shooting around. He plays really hard, and a lot of big guys don't play hard because of their size. He's a big, big dude. And, you know, I would say that he does, like, have a lot of times where he makes a nice move inside, the ball just kind of rolls around and goes off. He's always kind of finished better if he wants to continue to play heavy minutes. But his attitude is infectious on this team. And I think the coaches have talked about that quite a bit, that how he approaches everything rubs off on the other guys. He's probably the most talkative guy on defense. And that's important for any team to talk for switches and everything he needs to be done. So he's really been a lot of intangibles come with Joey Brunk. Now, can they play with him and Trice at the same time, extended periods of time in the Big Ten, given the way that basketball has kind of evolved to four guys who play out, one in? Now, that's a good question. I think against certain teams they will be able to, but certain teams it might be an issue. But I think that Joey's brought so many good intangibles that whether he plays 15 minutes or 25 minutes, is not that he still can help this team quite a bit.
Mike Thegram, Pegs.com. Let's talk IU football for a moment as we close out this segment and the show here on Tuesday. It's rivalry week for IU football. They take on Purdue, and it's definitely a different Purdue team from the past few seasons. Overall record 4-7 for this Purdue team. They have had a couple of wins recently. They did not win this past weekend, a 45-24 loss to Wisconsin. But before that, they were victorious over Northwestern and Nebraska in back-to-back weeks in very narrow margins. Your thought, your prediction on a score and what the outcome of this thing could look like?
Well, you know, Indiana needs to win this game, and they should win this game. But, it, you know, Purdue's dangerous at home. They've beaten middle-of-the-pack teams. Like, you know, I would call Nebraska kind of a middle-of-the-pack kind of team with the Big Ten, maybe a step below that, but pretty much in the middle. I mean, they just went to Maryland and just pounded Maryland on the road. But, you know, it's a team that's playing with, you know, a quarterback that nobody thought would be playing due to injuries. They've been without their big gun, Rondell Moore, for most of the season. They just haven't been near the same Purdue that Indiana's faced the last 2 years. But, again, there's talent. There's dangerous talent. They've hung with some good teams for a while. I think last week they hung in there for a while. I guess one of the best Big Ten teams out there. And so, and Jeff Prohm is always such an innovative play caller. They throw everything, especially against Indiana, play trick plays and all that. They'll figure out some things they see on film and probably throw it out at IU and maybe have some success at times. And so it'll be interesting. Indiana, I think, a little bit tougher team than we've had seen, and that's why they're 7-4. And should be able to handle this thing. That's one thing that's been different about this IU team is they've been able to beat the mediocre and the lower half teams. And so I would expect to be able to do it on Saturday.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com. Mike, as always, appreciate the chat. Happy Thanksgiving to you and the Pegs.com team, and we'll talk with you again very soon.
All right, Matt. Talk to you then. Thank you.
That's going to wrap things up for this Tuesday program. This is the Hoosier Report presented by CC Power Sports. Don't forget, if you miss our show live at 11 o'clock, you can catch the replay most days here on the Big X at 3 p.m., and we're available as a podcast, SoundCloud app, or Apple Podcast app. Both of those are easy ways to connect with the Hoosier Report. Just search for us there, and you can find each and every edition of our program available on demand for you. Don't forget to join me and Lee Kelly. We're out at Christian Academy tonight for the opening game of high school basketball on our broadcast schedule this season. Floyd Central at Christian Academy. The game tips at 7:30. We'll be on just a shade after 7 o'clock with pregame coverage. And, of course, I'll be back with you Wednesday here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, presented by CC Power Sports.